We're going to do things just a little bit different today. We're going to have communion right now. Lauren, Zach, McKinnis, would you please come help? Lance kind of gave over communion to me, and like most of the time in my life, I hear him, but I didn't hear him. So you come and you want to get prepped. You always have Sonny, who does it so eloquently, and then you have the rest of us who try. I was like, so in your quiet time with the Lord, you're like, I want something different. I don't have to be where it becomes a ritual where you're saying the same thing because you lose the meaning behind it. So why do we take communion? Does anybody know? Good. To remember. All right. So communion, this is our be still and focus time on Jesus. So you guys I just asked you to picture him walking on that shameful walk. Now I want you to picture him on the cross. All right? So we remember he really did die. He really did come back to life. So we need to remember all of that, because if he never came back to life, none of those benefits we talk about here mean anything. But he really did come back to life. Had over 500 plus witnesses, right? So we need to remember that sacrifice at the cross. That's how important that is, because his body truly was broken for us. I mean, broken and brutally beat. It's a time that we get to celebrate the gospel, the good news, right? You get to celebrate. It's good news, right? We don't have to burn. We can get to go to heaven, right? Another thing it's been on my heart for a couple years now is unity. When we do this in remembrance of him, it brings what? Unity, right? So if we remember that it brings unity, and then we remember all he's done for us. So we receive Christ, the nourishment. What's he give you and replace what you've got going on in your life when you do this? He restores strength. We have hope. We have joy. And I've always said this because of Pastor Fleetwood. It's a meal that heals. It really does. If you have any ailments in your body right now, come up here and take this meal that heals, all right? So, Father God, we lift this meal up to you. We do this in remembrance of you. Right before you went to the cross, I mean hours before you went to the cross, you had this meal with your disciples. And you broke the bread. And you said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he lifted that cup of redemption. And this is the blood of the new covenant for the remission of sins. Then he gave thanks to his Father. So if we can, let's just make two lines. Put some soft music on while we do this. Make two lines and come on up here and let's have communion together. Harold's got some gifts to give out. Maybe. Now remind us how they earn these points. Showing up. How they earn these points, showing up, memory verses, and no memory verses.
For being there on time, they get points for bringing an offering of any size. They get points for bringing a Bible, and that's the reason we give a Bible away.
All right, so for this section of a year, this quarter, while we're working on that, before I get to that, I have our youth doing the same thing about report cards and grades. So that should be time where we talk about that on Wednesday, and there's money to give out. But in first place, Abby McKenna, who had 1,035. All right. All right. Allie Thompson, not here today. And is this the winner of the Bible? Caitlin Redman. Awesome job, guys. Awesome job. Can I get all of our kids up here? Harold, would you want to do the pleasure of praying these guys in? I would love you to.
Well, we got a good-looking bunch up here today. As soon as I get out of the picture, it'll be better. Oh, now it's great. By that, please. Lift your hands towards these kids. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for watching over us and for being with us. We pray that these guys will learn and understand thy word, and they will draw many, many people for you. I hope they'll all be a stepping stone and not a tripping stone. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, take 5 minutes, hug somebody, a couple new faces, give them a hug, introduce yourselves. Take 5 minutes. have to tell everybody to calm down and get back in your seats this time. Wow, that's a little different. All right, where to start? Back to back, just got brought up, like within a month you get to be up here twice. I feel for Lance sometimes because it's week to week that he's got to be listening to the Lord to give him something for you guys, all right? I've had 2 months notice, all right? You think you can prep something in 2 months? Right. Are you one of those last-minute people? Not for this. So a couple months ago, I had one ready because I knew I was going to preach, a couple weeks ago. The way the Lord worked it together was about trust. So 3 weeks in a row, you guys got dealt with trust because we all have trust issues, right? All right. So 2 months ago, I'm praying with the Lord. We're having this conversation, and I start, my pen's ready, Lord. Just go ahead and tell me, what do you want me to talk on? So I start jotting down some stuff. Trust was number one, so I use that one. And he said, well, what's on your heart? What do you want to talk about? I'm like, well, you know what's good about church? Edification. Unity. I'm like, so those are pretty good. So sometimes I think I'm smart, and sometimes he proves that I'm not. So he asks me, that's a good start, what does those words mean to you? Does anybody know what edification means? Building up, right? Webster's Dictionary, Google, whatever it's called, to instruct and improve, especially in morale and knowledge of Christ, to uplift, enlighten, or inform, build up, and stand firm against every wind of doctrine, as well as attacks from the evil one. That's pretty good. So you want to build people up, and you want to get them good, sound doctrine so they can withstand those fiery darts of the enemy, right? So if we hear the word and we let the word get stored in our heart, the word and the Holy Spirit will activate it when we need it, correct? Right, so edification, you're going to get hopefully a lot of that today. Unity, what is unity? The state of being in oneness, right? Together. Oneness in who? Christ, all right? Because without Christ, there is no unity. It's chaos. You can pretend there's not unity. You can pretend you have some unity, but without Christ in the center of it, there's zero unity. Sorry. So I'm getting better at listening to him. I don't wrestle with him like I used to. I don't try to play God on my own life. I let him be God because he does a far better job than I can. So my question back to him on these were pretty straightforward definitions. I was like, well, what do you want to teach? So I will surrender myself, and I want you to use, this is what he was telling me, I want you to use where you have been in Scripture. Like, well, that makes it simple. Just don't go here and then not really know a lot about it. But use what you have used in Scripture. Okay, then what do you want to do, Lord? He goes, I want you to tell my sons and daughters how to get back everything the enemy has stolen from them. I'm like, okay, that's, I'm game for that. All right, you guys game for that? All right. There's going to be a lot in this, all right? It might be a little long. I don't apologize for being long. I was trying to be obedient in writing things down as he was giving them to me. But today I think he's going to be showing our sanctification process. Danielle, when you opened, we never talked about what you were going to open with, about creating us a clean and a pure heart. And how he, in your life, he gives you a little bit, and then he gives you a little bit more. He's putting that puzzle together, and then that puzzle fits together, right? And when you turn, anybody ever done, I don't want to give up a secret from Emmaus Walk or anything like that, but that picture, when that puzzle's put together, is Christ. We're supposed to be the reflection of him, right? So every area that we let him fill that puzzle piece becomes more and more to the image of him. So stay with me. This might be long. Right? There's been a social media post going around, and it kind of like stuck out at me. It's got a grandfather, a father, a son, and a grandson. Has anybody seen this one here recently? Okay. The grandfather always attended church, always, always, always faithfully attended church. Okay? The dad, he attended occasionally. Right? You're going to put yourself in one of these spots right now. The son, we don't need to go to church. Right? We don't need to go. And then the grandson, granddaughter, however you want to place it, who is Jesus? That's the cycle that flows through life. You've got a grandparent. I'm a grandparent now. I faithfully attend church all the time. I have a son who is a dad who doesn't think he doesn't need to go, right? Some of us have family members like that. So let me share a story. It wasn't in my notes to say, but we went fishing a month ago. All right, so my little sweet little redheaded granddaughter, she wants to go across the bridge through the woods to the other side of where the pond's at. She wants to fish. And then we get to the bridge, and something scared her because she heard some rattling in the bushes, and she said, Bigfoot. And I'm like, Ada, Bigfoot's not real. And I'm like, and I don't know how much Jesus gets mentioned to her. And I was like, you know who's bigger than the fake Bigfoot? Jesus. And she looks at me like she's never heard that name before. All right? So every little bit of seed you can plant, one day she might come and say, I need to know who this Jesus is. All right? So not to speak poorly of my child, he needs to eventually will get back to church. He will raise his daughter in that. But can you see yourself in that cycle? All right, can you put yourself in that cycle? All right, so something in your life has stolen some identity, and then you made a commitment to be here today, right? So your first step you've already made, right? You're making a commitment, and sometimes we walk away and bad things happen. I'll hopefully cover that in this message today. So if you would bow your heads with me, let me pray. Father God, I just pray the word coming forth today will allow access to everyone here's hearts. Thank you, Father, that you are a very, very loud speaking God when you need to be. We do thank you that your promises, that you promise us freedom. And I pray that we have an awareness in this moment that freedom that we should take, you have already done all of it on the cross. All right, everything that you can do and everything that we need, you've already did. Victory is ours. We just got to learn how to grab a hold of that freedom. So to claim that freedom today, I pray that you would wake up and shake up anyone here who is sleeping or slumbering so that they can experience that there is so much more freedom in you. Lord, today I pray for breakthroughs, for answers, and I pray today for wisdom on how to do our life better with you. I pray that today I can get out of the way so you can have your way and only your way. In Jesus' mighty name. All right. This stemmed from listening to a song over and over again. My wife's getting tired of hearing it, but I want to play it for you. It's a little upbeat, but it'll get your blood flowing.
Fear's got me living with the lights out, chained down like a prisoner in my own house. Shame cycles like a deadly medication. I try but I can't change my situation. Cause that liar comes to rob my joy. Yeah, I'm bruised but I'm not destroyed. I'm rising like an army and you're gonna hear the sound. I'm calling the angels down. I'm storming the gates of hell. Oh. You can't speak your lies over my family now. You can't break the promises that I'm standing on. And got a flex to put you back in your place now. My name is all I gotta say. Jesus, I'm calling the angels down. I'm storming the gates of hell. Taking back what the enemy stole. I'm raising the battle cry. I'm raising the battle cry.
it ain't clear yet, I want everything you took from me. In the name of the one who is peace, the one who heals our disease, the only reason that I am free, that name is Jesus. Lord of lords and King of kings, Jesus. Back what the enemy
is raising the battle.
Blood pumping. All right. That was the highlight of today, right there. All right. I'm kidding. The Lord speaks to you in small times and brings out different things. I don't know if it was a year ago, how much better I behave when I see a cop is in my proximity, right? So you behave a little bit better when there's a cop in your proximity. And so he wanted to build on that. And how many of you have cars here that have sensors that go nuts? The beep, beep. All right. All right. Some of us are blessed with that. So the very, very first car that I have with all of this is the Kia out there. And you didn't know half of what it could do until it warned you. All right. So those are called proximity sensors. All right, so my Kia has all these bells and whistles, and I'm still learning. It's got cameras everywhere. Tells me if somebody's to my left, to my right, in my front, in my behind. We did not learn much about it until the warning hits, right? And the first one, it's telling you you're getting in close proximity. It's giving you a beep, 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 all right? We were at Menards, and we were getting ready to back out. I still hate the camera. I still will not use it. I'm old school, all right? So I still look behind me, but my proximity, there was somebody behind me, and it was just went beep, 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 and it locked up, right? The brakes locked up. It would not let me move, and I'm like, I don't like that at all, but it might have saved somebody's life, and you're looking around, and there was nothing. There was somebody walking, but they weren't that close. So there's proximity sensors, and you know the Lord could use things like that to teach you, right? All right, so proximity is what? It's having things that get close to you, and sometimes too close. And sometimes that's the little beep, 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 and some other times it's the beep, 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 and it's giving you that, okay? So us as Christians have something, a proximity sensor built into us too, right? What is that? That's Holy Spirit, right? He is going to warn us of things that we should and should not do. So those sensors that are built in, all right? So the Lord reminded me the things that are natural have to happen in the supernatural first, right? Something that stuck with me for years. So it's already happened in the supernatural. Now it can happen in the natural. So people get these ideas for these sensors. And these sensors have been around for a very, very, very long time, right? We live life so fast. We get so quick to judge a lot of things. We get way too close to things that we have no business being close to. We get way too comfortable with the small distance between us and something that could ultimately wipe out our life, right? Some of us have proximity issues in our life. Stay with me, all right? And if we don't deal with them proximity issues, they're going to deal with you. They're going to deal with you. So today, I want to help you through this, all right? Youth, where have we been? Like parked for the last 4 or 5 months. Proverbs, all right? Proverbs, what we've learned is the book for the youth, right? Wisdom for the youth. Does that mean it's kids? No, that means wherever you are in your spiritual walk, that youth. All right? Some of us could be way down here, and some of us could be way up here. And some of us have our proximity sensors set, and they go off, or we don't get involved in some things because we know. We've stored that in our hearts. All right? So Proverbs is going to give you the beep, 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 and then other times it's going to give you the beep, 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 and it's going to really, really let you know. So us younger people, maybe younger in the spirit, listen to me wisely today. Let your hearts be open and your ears open to receive this today. Proverbs 1 tells us to not hang out with follies. It gives you the beep, beep, beep. Don't hang out with folly, all right? How many of you have hung out with folly? Do we know what folly is? All right? Proverbs 14 reminds us, I already told you, don't hang out with folly. It's giving you the beep, 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 beep. Don't hang out with folly. It's not going to end good. Proverbs is guiding our way to righteousness. All right? Do we want to be righteous like Christ? We want to. Proverbs 4, 14 through 16. I'm going to read it from my version, but it'll be on your screen. It says, do not, beep, beep, set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Beep, 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 right? Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep until they make someone stumble. So, like Menards, even though I didn't see it, don't back your life up to the way of the wicked. That could have been somebody I ran over. It could have been somebody small. Could have been a dog. Could have been anything. And that would have caused some damage in somebody's life. Would have made my insurance go up. Right? Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. This is a proximity we need for our lives. Let me read it again. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. This is letting us know by just being close to a certain group of people will get us hurt. Okay? Just by putting our lives in a proximity of foolish talk, foolish behavior, you will be implicated by being in the proximity of foolish people, right? Have you ever been acquainted with somebody that got you in trouble when you did nothing? But you were acquainted with them, so you're guilty by association. One of my kids was in a car, and the driver had drug paraphernalia, and guess who had to face some of the consequences? My kid. All right? Because he was in the proximity of stuff that wasn't supposed to be there. He got out of it, but that's because I have friendships with a lot of police officers. Proverbs 14:7 says, stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. Could we agree with that? All right. Proverbs 22:24, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. You will get yourself in snares. The enemy is trying to trap you. This is an edification in protecting you with sound doctrine and preventing attacks from the evil one. So this book is so full of wisdom. It's letting us know when what's getting on them can get on you. Okay? What's getting on them can get on you. It's telling us what we are getting close to and what we need to stay away from. It's telling us that we should be close to and giving us the promises. It's telling us what we should be close to and giving us promises that we follow the good wisdom in its teaching and on how we have prolonged rich and blessed lives. I think I have pointed that out every time I've read it to the youth. If there's a promise, I point it out. And one of the biggest ones is prolonged life. Rich doesn't mean you're wealthy. It means you're rich spiritually, okay? And a blessed life. How many of you want a blessed life? All right, so let's put some proximity sensors on around us. All right, Proverbs 26:17. It says, like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. All right, some of us have been in the middle of something that is not our issue, right? Beep, 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 beep. all week long that I've been back since Friday. Sorry, I've been all week long. I don't know if you've caught on to this. I keep grabbing my dog by the ears. My dog trusts me and loves me, right? Word says a stray dog. So I've been grabbing my dog by the ears, and I said, grabbing you by the ears, and he just licks my face, so he trusts me. But some of us get involved or are involved with some tensions, right, which causes some anxiety, and it's not even your issue. But you've allowed it to become your issue. You have let the person's issue become your issue. The word, Proverbs, is saying it's like grabbing a stray dog by the ears. Have you ever grabbed a stray dog by the ears? Anybody? Noah, you've grabbed a stray dog by the ears? What was the result? If you grabbed it by the ears, yeah, you're going to get nipped. All right? So I highly recommend you don't do this. And if you want to play God in your own life, go do it. When you go back from the ER, there is a scripture in James 5:16 that says, come to the elders of the church, and then we will pray for you, and you will be healed, okay? All right. Proverbs is trying to warn us, and they're not even that difficult to follow, are they? I mean, you kind of know. You know when you're going to do good. You know when you're going to be doing bad. And it's a choice of James 4:7, submitting to God and resisting the devil, and he must flee, all right? So we got to get that warning comes, whether it is, we'll get there in a second, but it's that beep, beep, beep. When I hear that beep, 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 what's my first instinct? What should it be? Submit to God. Submit to God. Submit to God. Submit to God. And Psalms 9, I don't know which verse, after we're submitted and we're in his presence, the enemy, he's going to try to come back. But the Lord fought the battle, right? The Lord fought the battle. If you're in his presence, he will not forsake you. Psalms 9, I think it's somewhere in the first 13 verses. All right. Because we are doing life so fast and things happen and we allow things to get way, way too close, school, bullies, all those good things, we need to have the book of Proverbs beating us loud enough that we should be getting it in our ears and in our hearts. And when you have those beep, beep, beeps, let me share a story. I'm a huge Penn State fan. There was a big controversy that went on many, many years ago. One of my favorite football coaches was getting bad-mouthed on Facebook because of the situation going on there. Guess what I decided to do? On social media, defend him. I took on something that was not even my issue. Guess how long I was up defending him? I've never met the man. All night. And guess what point I got across to nobody, to anybody? Nothing. I did not change their mind. I did not change them. What did I lose? Sleep and time. And looked like a fool myself. So, tells you, don't comment on social media when you know, even though it boils your blood sometimes, that people are just ignorant to the truth. Right. So my proximity sensors are saying don't comment on this. I had to learn that the hard way. All right. There's certain social media posts you just got to keep scrolling. It's not worth it. I don't think I should be picking that up and reading it. Right. Why? When you give something proximity in your life, you're giving it permission. All right? So when you give something proximity in your life, you're giving it permission. So you don't mean to give it permission, but you've allowed it to get really, really, really close. And if you've allowed it to get really, really close, you've allowed yourself to be vulnerable to it. So remember, when we went through COVID, right? What did they do? What did they call that thing we had to do? Social distancing. What was it? 6 feet, 8 feet? 6 feet. All right, so within 6 feet, because I could be, if I got too close to your proximity, I could be giving you what I have, all right? Within proximity. So they have this social distance thing, so they've already kind of like did it with COVID. It's a social distance made us do that. So because if you're carrying the disease, It was your proximity to another that allowed the spread of the disease. Okay? All right. It's the same with negativity, laziness, stress, dysfunction, temptation. If you allow it too close, you're giving it permission. All right? So when I read this book of Proverbs, I see that some of my parking sensors need to be renewed. Can anybody say some of your parking sensors need to be renewed? Okay, stay with me, please. I needed to get back into this book. Thanks to Fight Club, it was like a rule. You had to read it, and then turn around and read it. If I'm having to read it, I was like, this makes it easy. The youth got to read it too. And then we get to go break it down. So this is my breaking it down, guys. I realized that I was putting certain things in the wrong space and in the wrong places in my life. So as I'm reading this book and the words start popping up off the page, so God's speaking to me, and one of our prayers always is to create in me a pure and clean heart, all right? And sometimes God shows you the ugly, right? Do you have to deal with that ugly? We should deal with the ugly. My wife opened up admitting some of her ugly, right? I think you're beautiful, though. Just throwing that out there. So God reminds me of stories in the Bible. So while you're reading a story, this is what we've learned from Kaneo, does it tell us to put ourselves into the story? All right, how many of you guys do that when you're reading Scripture? Do you put yourself in the story? You put yourself in the proximity of it, so what's going on? I wanted to use 1 Samuel 30, but the Lord had other ideas, right? It's a good, I'll use it later. I found so much more out of it, I'll use it some other time. But there was a proximity issue in Scripture, of course, because there's every problem that we go through in life, it's there to help and edify and build us up, where people almost lost everything, all right? The book of Nehemiah. We did Nehemiah last December, but let's finish the rest of the story now. It's about a man who felt like people needed to get back to God's word, to God's law, to worshiping and praying, and to get around all the things that God called them to, okay? So the people did what? They rebuild? All right. They rebuild the walls of God. They rebuild Jerusalem. They rebuild prayer in their life, and to get back to the word of God and to get back to worshiping. He was trying to get people of God back to the right proximity of him, right? So sometimes we need to get back in that right proximity of him. We need to surrender and get out of the way. So as we read on in Nehemiah, people get back and they rebuild the wall. They get back to the law. They get back to worshiping. We see all this in the first 12 chapters, right? Chapter 10, they get back into a covenant relationship with him. All right, they get back into that covenant relationship with the Father. All things are going great, right? They're going great. Then chapter 13 happens. Chapter 13, it's a big shocker, all right? The enemy throughout the book of Nehemiah, to stop the build, there was an enemy to try to stop the build. It was a full frontal assault in those times, all right? Let me wake you up a little bit. We're okay when we're here, right? That full frontal assault, we're strong, we're united right now, and that's great because we're strong and we're united right now. The enemy can't penetrate what we got going on in unity right now. It cannot. But do you think the devil and the enemy is clever? He is, all right? He is. He is waiting for a back door. When you give him access to a back door, what can that look like, right? That is commenting on a social media post. That is allowing other things in your life that you know the beep, beep, beep is giving you the warning, and you try to play God in your own life and ignore the beep, 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 beep. Right? I hope that hits home. We have Sonny and Lance. Sonny and Lance do a fabulous job with our frontal assault. Right? I'll give them credit for that. But the enemy is looking for a back door. Can Sonny and Lance guard you in your home? All right, whose job is that? It's yours. So when the enemy can't find entrance to the front door, he is going to find access through a back door. Have you ever in your life got comfortable, off guard? You put your armor on sometimes, and you take a season off of the things of God. Have you ever been, has there ever been you? You ever take a season off, week off? It's summer, it's vacation. I don't need to give my tithe money. I don't need to do anything. I'm on vacation. I'm guilty of that, so I'll raise my hand. So you've given up fellowship. You've given up tithing. You've given up reading the word, and you've given up worshiping. Do you think that's a back door? All right, stay with me. And all of a sudden, that back door is open. So after months and months and months and even years of building that wall like Nehemiah did, I leave a back door open. The Lord called me to do this. I don't know. I can clearly stay in 2010, and it's been 14 years. But I think it was much younger than that, and my proximity sensors might have been going off, but I had big plugs in my ears where I tried to play God in my own life, and I give God time when I felt convenient for him. I don't have that anymore. It's all him or nothing, okay? I can't live, and you can't live like it's Groundhog Day. Has anybody seen that movie? All right, doing the same thing over and over and over and over. What is that? You're expecting a different result. That's insanity, all right? Some of us are having the same problems we had last year, the year before that, the same arguments, the same distrust, and all of those things. When I opened up with that little cycle of the grandparent, the dad, the son, and the grandkid, we need to be cycle changers. All right? We are called to be cycle changers, and we need to be the generational curse breakers. All right? So we need, let me hear you say out loud, I am a curse breaker. Say it with some boldness. Amen. Amen. So what happens when you leave the back door open? The enemy is looking for conversations you're having on the internet that you have. You hope no one will find out about. The enemy is looking at what you're reading when it's dark and you're alone at night. He's listening to the conversations that you're dropping in on and then gossiping about. All right? He's looking for a back door. Remember, Nehemiah's people signed a covenant, and we're all in. You guys just said we're curse breakers, right? Are we all in? So we got to be all in. If we're all in, what happens when leadership goes away? Nehemiah went away. Nehemiah, if we can turn to Nehemiah chapter 13. Let's start in verse 1. On that day they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should enter the assembly of God, for they did not meet the people of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. But your God turned the curse into a blessing. So I want to skip down to verse 4. It says, now before Eliashib, the priest who was appointed over the chambers of the house of God and who was closely related to Tobiah. Tobiah was the enemy, but he prepared Tobiah a large chamber where they had previously put grain offering, the frankincense, the vessels, and the tithes of grain, wine, and oil, which were given by commandments to the Levites, singers, and gatekeepers, and the contributions for the priest. All right. So Nehemiah leaves. He has a commitment to the king, right, that he has to go back to, and he puts Elijah in charge. and the storehouse. That's what he put him in charge of, the storehouse. What's the storehouse? If we want to look at it to ourselves, the storehouse is our body, and our body is our temple of the living God. It's our storehouse, all right? It's where the offering, he put the offering in, the tithe, the portion for the priest, what I just read. The storehouse has great significance. It was the commitment to live a God-led life, all right? In the absence of Nehemiah, Elijah was in charge, and then he gave close proximity, the beep, 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 going nuts, of Tobiah. So he prepared for Tobiah a large chamber, this is verse 5, where they had put the grain, the frankincense, the vessels, the tithe of grain, wine, and oil. He gave Tobiah a back door. What do you think they moved out where Tobiah moved in? Everything of God they took out. Tobiah removed it and brought all of his stuff in. Stay with me. This has a huge point. All right. So if you read the book of Nehemiah, you should notice that the name Tobiah, he was the enemy of the build. Chapter 2, verse 19, he was trying to intimidate God's people from building the wall. He was the person that's trying to intimidate you from growing closer to Jesus, trying to keep you and pull you away from getting in the presence of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 7, he was plotting against Nehemiah. All right? Chapter 6, 1 through 11, I'm not going to read it. He was scheming so much that he paid a prophet to falsely say things, say some stuff about Nehemiah and the build. Has anybody ever said some bad things about you that were not true? All right? He paid those people. So Tobiah could not get through the front door. He waited for a more opportune time. All right? You should hear something right here. The enemy is very, 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 very patient. He's a very patient enemy. You don't think that that's a fruit of the Spirit, but he has it too. He's very patient, waiting for you to leave a back door open. All right? He will wait for your armor to be at the side of your bed. He will wait for the vacation that you're taking from church and fellowship and worship. He will come right into the storehouse, the places where you read your Bible, you worship, and you'd be in the presence of God. And when we call all these other things, my phone's way over there, that is a huge distraction in my life. I need to probably throw it up in the air and smack it with a baseball bat at times. He comes into that place where he could cause the most damage, right? That's where he comes. Tobiah just abides in his time. And remember, the enemy is super patient. So when Nehemiah was gone, he had a more opportune time, and he moved in. When an enemy comes from you from the front, we're ready to war, aren't we? We're standing, and we're ready. But Tobiah was related in close proximity to Elijah, who is in charge. All right? When a brother betrays you, does that hurt? When a sister betrays you, does that hurt? It does. It stings. All right? That is why the enemy is often just looking for proximity. How do I get in the back door of these people's lives? That's what he's thinking. When he moves in and you give him just a little space, all right? You get a little bit of fear. He just wants a little bit of space. And when you give him anxiety, he just wants a little bit of space. And when you give him a compromise, he just wants a little bit of space, right? Anybody here guilty of this? All right. You've let fear, you've let anxiety, and you've let compromise come in life. And guess what happens? He's not satisfied with the little space. All right? He's not satisfied with the little space. He wants to take over the whole space. And when you allow the enemy just a little bit of space, he is saying, thank you. Guess what? I've got friends. All right? David, not a Holy Spirit party, but these things want to have a house party in your home. All right? He's going to say, hey, fear's moving in, but hey, also I have this other friend called doubt and unbelief. Hey, they're here, we're having this house party. This one's called anxiety. And this other one, I'm going to invite him too. We're going to have a big old house party. He's called Turmoil and Strife. Just by letting a little bit of space. That's all we've given him. And before you know it, Tobiah had moved in all his stuff and moved out all of the things of God. How quick can we move all the things back in? James 4:7. All right? Don't think you got a lot of work to do. This is you. James 4:7. You just got to submit, kick out, and bring back. All right? I'll get there. So what did he remove? He removed the incense of worship, the sacrifice of the tithe, the grain that moved out. Does anybody know what grain is? It's our portion. It's our portion. So he will eat your seed of your future, all right? How many of you have let him rob your money by an addiction of something? He's robbed you of your future, and you don't even know it because it's like, it's okay, all right? He will take your dreams. He will take your peace, and he will take your confidence, and he will take those things because you allowed proximity in your life. Proximity had permission. Tobiah is now living in the storehouse, and here's the good part of the whole story. Nehemiah came home, all right? Sometimes we just can't be nice. We can't be nice, all right? When the enemy is living in your marriage, it's time to kick him out. When the enemy is feeding things to your children and robbing things of your children, you can't be nice, all right? When the enemy is eating the seed of your future, you just can't be nice. You can't, all right? So today I'm here trying to show you what freedom really looks like and what it actually requires, all right? So we can take back what the enemy has stolen. Tobiah is in the storehouse. In 13:7 it says, Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem and learned about all the evil things that Elijah had done. If you want to put that up there on the screen, Nehemiah 13:7-8. And it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. All right? Nehemiah was greatly displeased. Are you mad or get annoyed at the enemy or some of the decisions you've made in your life? All right, it's time to get greatly annoyed of the things you need to kick out. All right, so Proverbs 17:13 says, evil will never leave the house of one who pays back evil for good. So, hello, do we pay back evil with good? We don't. What the word says. We don't pay back evil with good. Proverbs 22:10, I want to read it from the Message version. It says, kick out the troublemakers and things will quiet down. You need a break from bickering and griping. So we need to boot it out. It's not, hey, would you leave, please? Would you leave, please? I mean, when you're ready, it's okay. You can go when you're ready. No, you got to kick him out. You got to kick it out. You got to remember scripture and let it write upon your heart and recognize those things. There's no negotiation with the enemy. It's not like he just said, if you give him a little bit, he wants the whole thing, all right? And he's patient. He will wait for you to leave another back door open. Whose faith is it? Is it your faith? It's your faith. It's your heart. It's your mind. It's your life. It's your future. So we got to get busy and kicking the enemy out, all right? Nehemiah did three things. Number one, he was greatly displeased. We need to get displeased. We need to get unhappy with the enemy and stop being comfortable where we're at. If we want to reflect Christ and we have to take steps in that direction, then take those steps in that direction, all right? Kick out the enemy, all right? Throw out anything of Tobiah and all the stuff he moved in that belonged to him. What is the thing called when people are living in houses they're not supposed to? What's that word? Squatters. All right. We need to evict the squatters. All right. Tobiah is a squatter. The enemy is a squatter. If this is the temple of the holy God, we need to evict out the squatters. All right. All right. The longer a squatter stays, The longer he stays, he thinks he has rights, right? Jeff would be my attorney guy to go to here. But there's squatter rights in some states, right? They have rights to stay, all right? Not in the kingdom of God. Squatters got to go, right? Squatters got to go. I live with this, so this is something I had to evict because I'm bitterness, and I've lived here for like 7 years. I have rights here. I'm unforgiveness. I've lived here for a long time. I have rights here. Like, no, you don't, because it says in the scripture, all right, who the Son sets free is free indeed, right? It's free indeed. All right. So we have to evict that squatter. And for some of you, I don't know what it is. I just know what I've kicked out of my life. Maybe it's your past, right? Where you at, Steve? Did you feel worthy up here? When you get up here, do you feel worthy of it? I don't either. Why? Because you're past. Same here. I don't feel worthy of it, all right? Do I feel called to do it? I'll do it. And all you got to do is say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, and more opportunities keep coming, all right? God can't fill, he can't fully live in your heart while you still have squatters in your living room. He can't, all right? He won't share the space. You have to allow him in. The children of Israel were a perfect example. They never got rid of their past. They never got over the bondage they were in. They got delivered, but always, always on their minds, the occupation or whatever had residence in their minds of how great Egypt was when it wasn't that great, all right? And what did that prevent them from? It prevented them from entering the promised land, all right? The enemy couldn't stop you from salvation because your front door is very, very, very strong. But what can he do? If you leave a back door open, he can stop you from transformation, all right? So we have to learn how to close these doors and give Jesus the keys. We do. How many of you have, you know you're saved, but nothing has changed in your life, all right? You're living life the same way, but you're not looking a bit like Christ. Have you been there? I've been there, right? What's the second thing Nehemiah did? Nehemiah gave orders to purify the room. He means it's time to clean house. Maybe we've been down this path. Maybe we've already thought we purified the room. Maybe we did it out of sequence of what the word says of how to do it. Anybody ever been in a house where a person used to smoke? Used to smoke, all right? That smell is still in the furniture, in the drapery. It's everywhere, all right? You can't have the promise of your future until you purify the room, all right? Something has to go. Sin leaves an odor, all right? Like that cigarette smoke. Sin leaves a really rank odor. It leaves a fragrance. And with Nehemiah being greatly displeased, he throws Tobiah out, all right, kicks him out. And I don't know what your Tobiah is, whether it's fear, temptation, anger, addiction, or some area in your life. Do you want to spend the rest of your life co-inhabiting with the enemy? Are you going to go anywhere co-inhabiting with the enemy? You're not, all right? Evict Tobiah, all right? Nehemiah 13:9 tells you to purify the room. What does purify the room actually mean? Get back to that place where you say, God, I repent. I repent. I don't want this in my life anymore. I've said no to the sin, but the memory of it and the aroma is still there. All right? You got to purify the room. You got to purify the room. Maybe it's a mistake in your marriage. Maybe it's a past mistake that it's just still in the atmosphere. You need to purify the room of unforgiveness. You need to purify the room of anger, of hurt, and you're still questioning and you're still not trusting, right? It's in the drapery of our lives. Could be your life, could be my life. It may be out of your life, but the aroma is still there. You have not purified the room. You got out of sequence some way, shape, or form. You just put it on your back burner, but it's still in there. It's time to purify the room. We have to get to that place where we're disturbed and we're annoyed and we're angry and we evict Tobiah, all right? Joel 2:13 says, rend your heart and not your garments. So we need to rend our hearts to the Lord. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and he reflects, he relents from sending calamity. I need my worship back in this room. I need my prayer back in this room. I need my surrender back in this room. I need everything that I took away, let the enemy come in and steal. I need to put it back in the room. All right? Just like Nehemiah, he purified that room. And then finally, not before he purified the room, here's number three. Nehemiah gave orders to put back in them the equipment of God. The equipment of God. All right? He didn't go anything, do anything before he purified the room. So after he purified the room, then we start replacing it with everything that was there prior when the presence of God was with us. All right? It's a great story when you break it down. The offering. What's the offering? Is that the sacrifice? Do we have to sacrifice things out of our lives to give an offering? We do. Lance has been saying for months and months and months that we need to die daily, right? And die well. Die daily and die well, all right? Sometimes that's the offering. That's the sacrifice. The presence of God. There's nothing like the presence of God. I don't care who you are. The presence of God outdoes anything and everything. And it's still here from this morning when worship started. That presence is priceless. And then he put back the grain. The grain is the provision. Everything the enemy has stolen, God is replacing and putting back into the storehouse. He's putting back your provision. He's putting back his presence. And he's asking you to die daily to accept it. So he's putting back everything into place. Why do you need to purify the room? Why do you? If you leave the room empty, when he starts putting things back in there, if you leave the room empty, what's coming? Another squatter. He's going to come look. Matthew, I don't know what actual verse, but he's going to go try to grab more and come back. So you got to start filling your temple and with things of God. I mean, he's going to find that it's full, and then he's going to turn. Psalms 9, all right? Psalms 9. For my life, I gave Jesus the keys to every door, all right? He reminded me and to get me involved in things like small groups. How many of you in here in small groups? Right? We've been involved with youth at 3 churches now. Yeah, so for 14 plus years, been involved in the youth in some aspects. There's been stoppages in that when we've changed churches, but in some way, shape, or form. Desperately, desperately find a mentor. All right? If you don't have a mentor, find one. Find an accountability partner that you are open and honest with, and then fill up your room with God, all right? Put your money in good investments. Quit wasting on nonsense. Nehemiah said, put back in the grain, the incense, and the cautions so he can fill the house again. And guess what happened? When I asked the Lord what to do, edification and unity. There's where it falls in. The Bible says people returned to their post. They returned to their post, and they were unified. Unity returned, okay? When we put back the equipment of God and things in our life, guess what returns? Faith, happiness, joy, provision, answers and wisdom start to actually come back, all right? They can't while Tobiah is living in the house. I can't, all right? We need to get back to our posts, all right? We need to accept proximity corrections and not play God in our own lives, all right? That's what the beep, 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 beep is for, all right? There is freedom but you got to take it. You have to take it. There needs to be an eviction. You need to be angry about it. You can't be nice, all right? There needs to be a purifying, and then there needs to be a filling. So let me set an example, all right? Danielle, will you come up here and sit down? Yes. Thank you. If you put on some soft music. How many of you, can you put the camera to the ceiling? That way nobody online is seeing you. How many of you need to evict some Tobias out of your life? How many have some unforgiveness in your life, some strife, some anger, or things you need to deal with in your life? Let's be honest. Go ahead and bow your heads. Close your eyes. If that's you, go ahead and put up your hand. All right. There are things that have happened in our 11 years of marriage, all right, that I want to evict out. Or it's 7 years of marriage, but it was 11 years of being together. And I think it still holds some kind of hold on some aspects of that, all right? So I want to, and I was supposed to do this a long time ago, all right? And I ran and tried to find something, and then worship was over. So when you're doing something that you're called to do and he tells you to do it, should you do it right away? So disobedience is still disobedience. So I'm being obedient to it now. I want to cast some things out of our relationship and in the mind that probably got planted in year two or three or four so that we can grow stronger as one. I want to evict the squatter that might be lingering around, okay? I want to purify the room of my marriage and in my relationship with my wife. If there is anybody in this room that you have that problem with too, the opportunity right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to wash her feet, all right? Just baby wipes. I want to wash her feet. I was supposed to do this maybe 2 years ago, and it just skips your mind, and then the Lord brought it back to my memory at 2:30 in the morning on Wednesday night. So I woke up at 2:30, and I said, yes, Lord. I wrote it down because I knew I would forget if I didn't write it down, but I never went back to sleep. He didn't let me go back to sleep. And then I was up until 10 o'clock the next night. If that is you, the altars are going to be open. Come grab some. I have a whole other bag of it in my backpack. But if this message really spoke to you, I want you to take action, all right? I need you to evict the squatters out of your life and take back everything the enemy has stolen from you, all right? Grab that person. All right, if it needs just be at the altar and you need to come up and just be you and God, do it at your seat. Victory is there. Freedom is there, but you have to grab it, all right? Jesus already paid for everything. It's already yours. Go back and get it and take back what the enemy has stolen, all right? I'm going to give it some time for Holy Spirit to work in here while I work with my wife. Thank you. Thank you. It doesn't just have to be your spouse. It could be a friend. It could be a kid. We're not going to tarry around, but this is beautiful. All right, did you feel something leave? Yeah, you feel something leave. I think it's the aroma has stuck around for a long time, and it needed to be spoken to and have the authority through Christ to take it back, because we have a great marriage. All right, we have a strong and great marriage, but there's just some things that you allowed proximity into your relationship that has not been dealt with in 8, 9, 10 years, right? And we're called to be one and some closeness. I think with him, we can be even closer. I really do. All right, let me dismiss you guys. So Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the victory that you had at the cross, that you've done everything for us, and that you are enough. You are enough. And then we thank you for your word, how it delivers us by calling upon your name. How wonderful, how great is your love and your faithfulness, that you're slow to anger. And when we have proximity sensors beeping in our life, Holy Spirit, we thank you for those proximity sensors that we can avoid caution. We love you for your grace and your mercy. And we just love you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we just bless these people as they're here.